Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, wherever you are in this great land, on this great planet. This is Ron, the webmaster of FreeWorldFilmWorks.com and FreeWorldAlliance.com, being joined by Saeed Sabor of AmericaInFocus.org. And tonight, on this February 20, 2015 program, we're going to cover the genocide in Gaza, specifically what went on last July. We're also going to get into the Jeffrey Epstein, Andy sex scandal, as well as microchips being implanted in the prisoners at Gitmo who should not even be there. Most of those prisoners are sheep herders, goat herders, etc. Saeed, why don't you start us off on the program tonight? Why don't you get into the sex scandal? Are you there, Saeed? Okay, I thought we had Saeed here. Saeed, are you there? Oh, boy. And I don't know what's going on here. For some reason, it's not allowing him to come in. And I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. It's, looks like we lost him. Okay, well, let me open up. I guess I have to open up until he comes back in. But let me start with an article that's very interesting. Benny Netanyahu, who is the number one genocidal maniac in the Middle East at this time, has made a call to all Khazars in Europe, specifically Denmark, but in all of Europe, to leave Europe and to immigrate to Palestine. And he made this call because of the recent called terrorist attacks in Denmark, and of course earlier there was the ones in France. Well, these shootings are so-called anti-Shemite attacks were all perpetrated by the Mossad as false flags to get sympathy for the Khazars, to make people forget about what happened last July of 2014, and to try and get the brain-dead, worthless Khazar scum of Europe to immigrate to Palestine, to give Benny and his genocidal maniacs an excuse to displace more Palestinians who have lived there for over 4,000, well, I guess it's pretty close to about, over 4,000 years, to displace the rightful with a bunch of Khazar bastards from Russia. Now, all these so-called anti-Shemite attacks in Europe are all carried out, perpetrated by the Mossad. Now, sometimes it's not Mossad agents themselves perpetrating the crimes. It's people hired by the Mossad to perpetrate them. And sometimes they even get Arabs or Muslims who actually think they're working for Allah or whoever they think they're working for, should carry him out. But it's all instigated by the Mossad. There's not a single attack in Europe in this century or the last century that has been carried out without the specific directions of the Mossad and the Rothschild crime family. Are you there now, Saeed?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
I was just getting into the call by Benny Netanyahu for Khazars in Europe to immigrate to Palestine because of the alleged anti-Shemite activities going on in Europe.
Right, and it's
interesting. Do you have anything you want to say about that?
Well, you know, it's obvious that, you know, most of these so-called, just like you mentioned, you're right, these so-called anti-Semitic attacks in Europe are obviously perpetrated by the Mossad. I just wanted to mention there was actually a story here in the States back in the 80s. I think it was in New England. I have to look back into it because it was a while ago. There was actually a state of random swastika spray paintings of Jewish synagogues and Jewish cemeteries. Well, after some investigation, it actually turned out by the police themselves who investigated these random spray painting of swastikas on Jewish gravestones and synagogues, and it was actually a Jew himself who was responsible for spray painting swastikas. That's some crazed anti-Jewish neo-Nazi types, but a Jew himself. And just like we were talking about Europe and all these so-called anti-Semitic attacks being perpetrated by Mossad, it's so obvious. I wanted to mention another instance of where Jews and Mossad agents actually perpetrate so-called anti-Semitic rallies or events, because just like Joseph Stalin said, in order to fight your enemy, you become your enemy. Ron, do you ever remember the Nazi march back in the late 70s?
Where at? What city?
Skokie, Illinois.
Oh, Skokie. Yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I don't remember seeing it while it was live.
Right. It was actually, they try to get a lot of media publicity for it. The Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith, it was actually a court case, the ACLU took the side of the Nazis who wanted to march through Skokie, Illinois, and it was the American Nazi Party that George Lincoln Rockwell founded, but it was another organization almost by the same name, headed by a man by the name of Frank Collins. And they wanted to gain publicity. They wanted a court order allowing them to stage a Nazi march through Skokie, Illinois. And, of course, Jewish organizations were up in arms, especially the ADL. They were adamantly opposed to this Nazi march. Well, from what I understand, they had the Nazi march through Skokie and with swastika flags and, you know, men dressed up as stormtroopers with swastika armbands. Well, and actually, after the whole charade was over and done with, and it actually turned out that the man who was the head of this Nazi organization, American Nazi organization, Frank Collins, was actually a Jew himself, and I think his father was born in Israel, and it's interesting that these even like a lot of these so-called anti-Semitic attacks, not only being perpetrated by so-called Muslim radicals, which is not the case, but even the so-called anti-Semitic attacks that are so supposedly perpetrated by white supremacists or neo-Nazis are actually perpetrated, again, by Jews or Mossad agents.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing on the Fox terrorist propaganda organization network. They had this Kazar bastard on, and apparently what he did is he went to a suburb of Paris, and he put
right,
his yarmulke on, and he walked around the streets in a 100% exclusive Muslim suburb, all Muslims. It's not a, it wasn't a mixed, you know, suburb where there's, you know, all different religions and nationalities. It was exclusively Arab Muslim neighborhood. And he, what he did is he had a guy walk ahead of him who had a backpack on and a camera in the backpack and filming the whole thing with him walking about 20 or so feet behind. And he got a few of the people, a few of the Muslims to say, "Hey, Jew," and to make some other comments. Nothing serious at all. It's just, you know, why is this guy walking through our neighborhood with a yarmulke on, broadcasting he's a Kazar? He gets
right
on with Hannity and says, "Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I was afraid of my life. I thought I was going to be murdered walking through there." And this is the kind of absolute satanic lying crap that the Fox Terrorist Network does to stir people up to think that there's such a thing as anti-Kazar activity in the world. There's zero anti-Kazar activity in the world. It doesn't exist. The only anti-Kazar activity in the world is when the Mossad agents perpetrate some crime.
Right, and most of those crimes involve actually Mossad agents killing off other Jews, like what happened in, obviously, before the Israel went ballistic on Gaza. Those teenagers were obviously nabbed by the Mossad.
Well, yeah, that whole thing was a total
right
scam. Yeah, that was a joke. Everyone realized that. Now, let's get into an interesting article, which I sent you. Do you have that article there, Saeed? About the amount of houses that were destroyed during the Gaza conflict?
Yes, you sent that to me, yes.
Okay, you might want to look at it. Well, one thing I just want to note before I get into it, Rachel Corrie, her family was trying to get the ruling overturned where the guy running the bulldozer who deliberately murdered her and bragged about it online, bragging he had murdered Rachel Corrie. Her family tried to get the joke, what they call the joke Supreme Court in Palestine, to overturn that and to actually have the guy put in prison or, you know, executed for what he did. Well,
right,
the joke Supreme Court in Palestine, working for the Khazars, ruled it was an accident. No big deal. She shouldn't have been there in the first place. She's dead. She deserved to die. And get lost, family. Oh, forget about it. You're not going to get anything out of us. And I have to admit, the Corrie family has a lot of courage to go up against one of the top terrorist organizations in the world trying to get justice for their poor daughter. And, you know, I feel extremely sorry for that Rachel Corey was murdered in cold blood, for her, for her family, but she had no business being there. You do not protest in Palestine against the Khazars without expecting to be murdered. It's as simple as that. If you go over there to protest, you just figure you're going to be murdered. It's as simple as that. Do you want to make any comments about Rachel Corey?
Yeah, exactly. It's obvious. See, that, you know, and even the term that the Khazars were using at her was the term shiksa. Shiksa is a derogatory Hebrew term for non-Jewish women. So that's how much they care about non-Jews. They could care less whether they're Palestinian non-Jews or American non-Jews. They view all non-Jews as expendable. So if you're just like Ron pointed out, you're gonna obviously expect the worst if you go up against the Khazars in Israel.
Yeah. Now, there's a report that came out in the Haaretz newspaper, that's a Khazar newspaper, about what the Khazar terrorists did to the Palestinians in the West Bank. Not Gaza. We're going to West Bank here during the year of 2014. Let me give you the list of buildings, how many buildings were destroyed in the West Palestinian homes. Many of these buildings and homes have been there for hundreds of years. 493 buildings in the West Bank were destroyed. 969 homes of Palestinians were destroyed in the West Bank. 97 buildings destroyed in East Jerusalem. 208 Palestinian homes destroyed in East Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem West Bank. That's not even Gaza. The amount of homes that the Khazars are destroying is incredible, fantastic. Could you imagine, Saeed, that a group of terrorists move into a city in America and just take over the local city government and just start destroying homes?
Yeah, it's unimaginable. If it happened here, there would be such an uproar, outcry. But see, since it happens there, they can get away with it. They can get away with just about anything in the Middle East.
Now, the report also said that around 300,000 to 400,000 Khazar settlers are living illegally in the West Bank. In other words, where they're not supposed to, what they call the settlements. 300,000 to 400,000. Now, let's get to Gaza. According to the figures, these are official Khazar figures, the Khazars destroyed in the 51-day genocide of Gaza. The Khazars destroyed what they call Protective Edge, Operation Protective Edge. Khazars destroyed or damaged 100,000 Palestinian homes, displacing 600,000 Palestinians. Now, when I asked you how many homes you thought were destroyed, you said, what was it, like 12,000 or something?
Yes.
Yeah. I was shocked. I couldn't believe how many homes, 100,000 homes, displacing 600,000 people. I forget what the exact population of Gaza is. Do you remember off the top of your head?
It's, I think, 3 million.
I forget what it is, but it's probably 600,000 is probably more than 10% of the population. Let me give a rundown of the buildings that were destroyed by the Khazars. And remember, their sole excuse was they claimed that a Hamas terrorist was taking refuge in or near these buildings. So the Khazars had no alternative but to destroy every building that they believed a Hamas terrorist was in or by. The so-called Hamas terrorist did not have to even be on the property of a building, be next to it, near it. And the Khazar says that gives us the excuse to destroy that building. That's like if here in America someone were to walk up next to a home and fire a gun at passing cars, that would give the local police the excuse to blow up that home.
Right.
This is the exact same thing that went on in Gaza last July, 2014. Imagine a criminal firing a gun, let's say in a, not a residential area, but a shopping area. He's firing a gun outside of a store. And so the police say, well, we got to kill him, so we're going to blow the whole store up. Kill him. They don't kill him. He runs away before they blow it up. And he's gone. But that store or that office building is demolished. That's what went on. Here's what the Khazars destroyed. 26 schools were totally demolished. 232 other schools were damaged. 73 mosques were totally destroyed. 205 other mosques were damaged. 13 public schools, no, public hospitals were destroyed or damaged. 13. 17 private hospitals were destroyed or damaged. 23 ministry health centers were destroyed or damaged. 4 private health centers were destroyed or damaged. 419 businesses and workshops were damaged. And Gaza's only power plant was totally destroyed. Electrical power plant. And 50% of all farmland in Gaza was greatly damaged. The cost to rebuild, they're estimating, this is the UN estimates, will be 7.8 billion Federal Reserve notes, and it will take more than 20 years to rebuild Gaza. You want to make any comments on this insanity, Saeed?
You know, me and Ron were talking about this off air. See, most people don't even realize how small Gaza is in comparison, not just to the West Bank. Gaza is actually smaller than the American state of Rhode Island. It's actually even much smaller than the American state of Rhode Island. And that's how much damage has been inflicted on that size of a territory by
Israel's defense forces and Israel's military. So you're basically, if they do that much damage to an area, it's going to have irreparable dimensions for the future growth of Gaza, as Ron pointed out. It's going to take a long time, just like it has already been mentioned, for them to recover.
Let me give you the dimensions of Gaza. The total square miles is 139. Let's round it off to 140 to make the math easier. That's 10 miles by 14 miles. And it's got a population of 1.8 million. The total number of people who were totally homeless was 100,000. They couldn't go back to their homes. 600,000 people were displaced but not totally homeless. They could go back to the rubble of their maybe partially damaged home. The total number of people directly affected by the genocidal war was 33%. The total number of people killed was over 2,000. And do you remember how many Khazars died in the conflict, Saeed?
It was around, they said it was around 3.
Yeah, I think the official count was 3. 3 Khazars died due to the so-called Katusha rocket being fired. Virtually no
right.
property was damaged. So that gave the Khazars the excuse to murder over 2,000 men, women, and children, destroy over 1,000 extremely important buildings, schools, hospitals, shops, etc., and destroy or damage 100,000 homes because Khazar bastards died and a few buildings were damaged. Now, does that make any sense to you, Saeed?
No, it doesn't make any sense to me, and, you know, it doesn't make sense to any logical, intelligent person, and this is a replication of what Israel has been doing over and over again. I remember, Ron, back in 2006 when Israel invaded Lebanon on the pretext that Hezbollah was, firing rockets. Right, right. And what was the damage to Israel because of those rockets? And one thing I want to make everybody crystal clear about this, because we're going to be talking about this much more in detail on the weekend on the show with a friend of ours about staged terrorism, because as we mentioned before, Hezbollah, Hamas are all creations of Israel, and obviously the rockets being fired supposedly by Hezbollah were actually fired by the Mossad or IDF, making it look like it was being conducted by Islamic radicals. But nonetheless, those rockets hardly did any damage to Israel's infrastructure, period. But what did Israel do? The first thing they did, they launched an all-out offensive incursion, invasion of southern Lebanon, and wreaked havoc and irreparable damage on Lebanon because of those rockets, which hardly did any damage to Israel.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They went in with tanks and foot soldiers. And I forget how long they were in there, but they got their butts kicked. They turned tail and ran like the cowards they are, because when they went up against Hamas on the ground, not just, you know, the jets bombing everything, they got their butts kicked. Because contrary to popular belief, the Khazars are not good soldiers.
No, not at all.
know how to fight. They get their butts kicked every time they get in a war with the Arabs. 1948, they got their butts kicked big time. 67, 73. In 73, wasn't a witch Golda Meir in power in 73? I forget.
No, I think, you know, yes, I think you're right. Golda Meir, that was during the third Arab Israeli. No, actually, it was Menachem Begin, I think.
Or was it Begin? Well, yeah, I guess Godi was there in 67. But
yes,
they were getting creamed so badly that they begged in 73, they begged Tricky Dick Nixon to do something to stop it, or they were going to let loose with their nukes. That's how badly they were being wiped out in 73. They were being totally overrun, and they got word that Heinz Kissinger said, tell Tricky Dick to do something, or we're going to nuke Egypt, we're going to nuke Jordan, we're going to nuke everyone, all the Arab nations. And when Tricky Dick got the word that they were about to nuke the entire Middle East, he had Kissinger call off Egypt, call off Syria, call off Jordan, and stop the war. You're never told that, what really went on. That stuff is kept
right.
Secret. And so when they went into Lebanon, they thought they were just going to roll through there and just wipe out, you know, the whole country. They got their butts kicked. That's why they didn't go into Gaza. If they'd have gone into Gaza, they'd have got their butts kicked.
Right. The only thing they can rely on is
drop bombs.
Right.
Go ahead, Saeed.
No, that's what I'm going to say. Exactly, drop bombs. And that's why Israel has a huge nuclear arsenal. Because that's the only thing they can use against the Arab countries.
Yeah, when it comes to ground wars, they're a joke. They're just absolute joke. But let me close off this section of the program by giving you the plan, the final solution. The Khazars want to murder everyone in Gaza. And they will start another war in a few years. And they'll hire Hamas, which they created. The Mossad literally created Hamas. This is a fact. The Mossad even admits it. They created Hezbollah. They created every so-called terrorist organization in the Middle East. Since they were created. The ones before were created by MI6. But whenever they want to wipe out some people, kill some people, etc., they just tell Hamas, start firing rockets. That gives us the excuse. Or kidnap some, you know, students or whatever, kill them, and that will give us an excuse to start a war. Or if they can't get Hamas to kidnap students like they did back in July, the Mossad does it themselves. Here's what they want to do. They want to murder everyone in Gaza. Once they get done murdering everyone in Gaza, they're going to cleanse Palestine of all Palestinians and Muslims. Then their plan, the final solution after that, is to destroy all the Arab nations in the Middle East. Now, they're already working on that. They took down Egypt. They took down Libya. They've done away with Lebanon for decades. And they're in the process of taking down Syria. They took down Iraq with the help of the United States Corporation. They took down Afghanistan. Only two nations left in the Middle East that they have to take down is Syria and Iran. They don't have to bother with Jordan because Jordan's a puppet state, just like Saudi Arabia and all those little emirate countries on the Saudi Peninsula.
Right.
Once they get rid of Syria and Iran, you're going to see a massively different Middle East. Now, once they take over all the Middle East, they're going after the entire Muslim world. They're going to wipe out every Muslim nation on the earth. Guess what they're going to go after they get rid of the Muslims? They're going to go after the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Christians.
Right.
And eventually, once they get rid of all these, what they call goyim nations, they're going to exterminate everyone on the planet except for a few thousand non-Khazar Edomites that they're going to keep around for sex and for torture. Everyone else is going to be eliminated. And they won't have to worry about having goyim as slave laborers because they're going to have robots do all their slave labor. Now, the timetable for this is they're going to try and do this by 2100. That's the timetable. So just keep that in mind. Any comments before we push on here to the last couple of things?
No, not presently. I think we should start.
Okay, did you want to talk about the sex scandal?
Yes. Actually, there was the whole Jeffrey Epstein sex scandal that emerged, and it's actually interesting, you know, how some big brother media outlets like ABC did play it up to a certain level, but others are not, because there's a lot of ambiguities, but also a lot of embarrassments, as Nini and Ron have mentioned about the whole sex scandal involving Jeffrey Epstein, because it involves many prominent individuals in the Big Brother establishment, including Bill Clinton, as well as even Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the daughter of the famed I wouldn't call him famous. In our view, he was infamous, just like Rupert Murdoch, infamous magazine publisher, et cetera, front man for the Rockefeller Rothschilds. And she, Ghislaine Maxwell, according to reports, she was the one who used to recruit these young women to this island referred to as Pedophile Island. And also, this scandal obviously involves the other Khazar by the name of Alan Dershowitz, the infamous law professor at Harvard University. Well, anyway, there's actually an article I came across which actually puts the whole scandal even more perspective, because of how it's already as damaging as it is for the New World Order and the Big Brother establishment that all these famous names are coming out. But what's going to be even more embarrassing for Big Brother is the fact that Hillary is going to be running in the election. And how is she going to cover for her husband? Because she's been covering up for her husband for a long time. And there's an article entitled "Trips to Pedophile Island Troubling." Will Hillary have to cover up for her husband's indiscretions once again? Now, when all these stories started appearing about Bill being involved and with Epstein and the island started surfacing, Hillary has been very careful about what's been going on. At the same time, she's going to cover up for her husband once again. Because as me and Ron have pointed out time and again, she does it all the time because it's a fake marriage. But even with how damaging the scandal is, she's going to do the same thing that she did before.
Well, yeah, the sex scandal has been off the radar here for a few weeks on Big Brother media. But I'm looking at an article here that was back in January where it says that Virginia Roberts was at the sex island of Epstein. And she saw Sicko Willie Clinton there. And she asked Epstein, saying, well, what is Clinton doing here? And Clinton was with two young girls that she recognized. And Epstein says, well, Clinton owes me a favor. But she didn't say anything about what Epstein didn't say anything about what the favor was. So we have no idea. But imagine Sicko Willie Clinton on a private island with a bunch of girls. What do you think he did, Saeed?
Well, obviously, he raped them.
Obviously, he's having sex with as many the girls on
right.
the island as he can.
Right,
now,
right. He's not out there for a picnic.
If it ever comes up, he just went there because of his friend, and he was just hanging out. He didn't have sex with anyone. But anyone stupid enough to believe that need to stick their head up there, you know what, because you're brain dead. If you believe that Bill Sicko Willie Clinton went to an orgy island to just sit around and relax, you're out of your mind. And Virginia Roberts also said that the Epstein has his own 727, which is equipped with a bed where they have orgies on the plane. So, I mean, Andy, Sicko, Dershowitz, they can all deny having sex with women on the plane, the orgy plane or the orgy island. But who's going to believe them?
I'm just going to say, tell everybody, please, stay vigilant. And also, especially in regards to manufactured terrorism, which is a subject we'll be discussing this weekend.
Yeah. And the thing is, you got to remember, people, when something like this, a sex scandal, a woman comes out and gives date, time, etc., and they all match up, you have to believe she's telling the truth, because you can't make this stuff up unless you're there. You can't make up the logs of the airplane, who was on it. She's given identity of everyone on the plane, and they match the log record. So remember, Big Brother is going to lie. And also, let's hope the Republicans bring up the sex scandal when Hillary joins the